It's a new MacBook Pro 16 coming at ya. Well, I mean, that's what we had to talk about today, obviously, because we've been talking about it in advance, and obviously, it's shown up. It just popped right up, you know, Will. Mm-hmm. We got a new MacBook Pro. It's not in our lives yet, but...
You can order one.
Yeah, I'm going to order one up.
Yeah.
I got to check it out. You know, Phil was talking to John. I'm sure John put in the word. Mm-hmm. John probably said, "Oh, you got to send. You forgot. You got to send one."
One more thing, you know.
Just yeah, John got to hit him. Yeah. Shout out, John TLD. Yeah. He had an interview with Phil Schiller. They're talking about the new MacBook Pro, insightful. You find out a little bit. Yeah, I'm gonna order one up, obviously, and get to the bottom of it. Tap on those keys, Will, as you would, and as you should.
Yeah, they changed the keyboard.
Weirdly enough, that's the most exciting thing for me because it kind of drove me away from the brand in the first place.
Yeah.
It's funny enough, you notice this one over here on my desk switched back because I missed this keyboard. In fact, a bit of a keyboard guy.
Yes.
I'm going to have a laptop. I'm going to think about a keyboard. Mm-hmm. This new MacBook, they said, look, we got to move away from the butterfly thing. We tried. We did it. And everything I'm seeing so far is that, yes, as expected, it's a move back to the scissor mechanism. It's kind of a step back. Sometimes you got to step back to step forward, Will. Mm.
So I've heard.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to go backwards.
Oh, yeah. Just replay it.
Sometimes you need to know where you've been to figure out where you're going. Mm. Yeah, you...
Mm. Very wise in this episode.
I don't know what we're doing. No, it's not. Yeah. This is a pretty simple one, in fact. It's just you had something that was working. Imagine where they could have been if they kept working on the old mechanism and trying to shrink it and improve it, and they'd be that much further ahead. But that's really important as a company, as a person, to look at something, be able to put it down and say, oh, okay, I tried that. Now, it didn't work out. No problem. Move to the next. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you double down. Sometimes you it takes a while for you to figure out when to put it down. There's some pride involved and things like this. I'm saying for anybody, not just Apple. I'm saying for anybody. Mm-hmm. But it's often just as important what you're willing to put down as it is what you're trying to hold on to.
Very quotable.
To I don't know. I'm not trying to. It's just, it's a funny, it's a retrospective.
I hear you.
They went backwards. This keyboard apparently is a lot like the keyboard on the old MacBooks from 2015 and before. I don't know if you had one of those, Will. But that was, it was spongier. It was more typical to what was in the marketplace. It was a chiclet style keyboard, a similar form factor, but you had the scissor mechanism and it felt like it, sounded like it. Nobody really had an issue with it.
Yes.
But they wanted to go a step further. They wanted that crazy low profile to make a statement with the butterfly key switch. I remember the original keynote. You had Johnny Ive with the accent and the backdrop, and he's telling you about butterflies, and you can't help it. It seems interesting.
Yeah.
But they had to put it down now, so that's the most exciting thing for me. I got to try out this new keyboard. From what I understand at this moment, it's not as clickety-clackety, it's not as noisy as the one you're using right now or any of the MacBooks laying around here that are post-2015. It's a little bit quieter, almost as quiet, in fact, as the new Chromebook, which, if you recall, that thing was almost silent. They actually paid attention to the volume level. So some people are going to appreciate that, people who work in a social atmosphere with other humans nearby. I know you don't care, Will. You just clickety-clack all the way.
Yeah.
Up and down.
I'm pretty sure I annoyed Jack here.
Oh, Jack is barely hanging on over there. Yeah. He's grinding into the desk with the fingernails every time. It's the clicking and the clacking. Now, obviously, there's other improvements here. It's now a 16-inch MacBook Pro. It's not an extra MacBook Pro. The 15-inch goes to bed now for good. The 15-inch is gone. the model that you're using. It's just the 16-inch. People were speculating exactly what technologies we were going to see in here beyond the keyboard improvement or shift. Yeah, we have an improved screen-to-body ratio. The screen now extends out further towards the edges to give you a bigger screen in a similar footprint without extending the footprint too much because you shrunk the bezels as many people expected. I don't know if it's as aggressive as people expected it to be, but it's definitely an improvement. You can see so by looking for yourself. An interesting development. This one actually got a little thicker than the previous version. Apparently, Apple improved the cooling, but also the battery supposedly is improved, providing another hour of battery life. New battery tech is in there. And then also, presumably, changing the keyboard design would have added some degree of thickness potentially to the unit as a whole. And weight, the weight goes up. Now, you don't see Apple doing this frequently, Will, where they make a device heavier and thicker. They've done it now with the iPhone Pro model. Now they're doing it with the MacBook Pro model. Are they listening to professionals? Well, they still only kept Thunderbolt 3 ports in the form of USB Type-C connectors. So, I mean, they didn't listen to that part. We were begging for an HDMI or an SD card. I think people actually wanted the SD card probably more than anything else. So, but you can't say that they haven't listened a little bit in the sense that they made something thicker and heavier than the previous version in order to provide, for example, better battery life. And obviously a bigger display as well. So it's not an exact apples to apples comparison. The old version, they stated, was good for 10 hours of battery life. The new one, 11. Otherwise, you're looking at the same I/O with four Thunderbolt 3 ports on each of them. No diversity of ports available. The new one, you can spec it to some crazy configuration, Will. Up to $6,099 if you throw an 8 terabyte SSD into it, which is obviously bananas. I don't know. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to say it. It's a surprise. I don't know which one I'm going to order, but it could be fun to check out the most advanced version Apple has ever made. Of course, the graphics now 5500M with 4 gigs of GDDR6 memory via AMD built-in collaboration. Oh, granted, you can step that up to 8 gigs of video RAM for an extra $100. There's other configurations available. Obviously, that's not the starting price, $6,099. In fact, some people speculated the starting price might be even more than what it ended up being. I think it's around $2,400 to start US, $2,399 exactly. And probably a lot of people would be fine with that model. It's still not a cheap laptop. Let's be honest here. You put the Pro designation. You take a peek at the materials. You never expected it to be cheap, did you? Not less than that. Not less than $2,000. And certainly not if you start speccing a custom version. RAM, you can take up to 64 gigabytes, which is actually an increase over the previous 32 as well. The display is still listed as 500 nits, and the pixel density didn't change that much. It went from 220 to 226. You did get a few extra pixels because of the display being extended now into the bezels and, of course, measuring 16 inches instead of 15.4. The speakers apparently received a major improvement as well. It's now a 6-speaker system. Something exciting there. They claim there's a force-canceling woofer in this unit. That's kind of like noise canceling, except it's woofer canceling. I know you're a big fan of that low end, Willie Do.
Oh, yeah.
Big fan of that. The thump that comes with it. Mm-hmm. Listen to a couple tracks on the old laptop speakers, as you would. And anyhow, what can happen in some circumstances with laptops or when you have these thin and light packages and you try to cram audio components in there, particularly subwoofers, you get vibration. Vibration can be a consequence and an outcome. And so this extra, this force-canceling woofer, it aims to offset those vibrations. So you don't get that buzz or rattle. You just get the thump that you're looking for, Will.
Sounds great.
Yeah, you're looking on a Tuesday evening. The thump that you're looking for on a Tuesday evening. Yes. Is it Wednesday, by the way? Yeah. On a Wednesday evening. Tuesday, Wednesday, who's checking? Who cares? The other thing they mentioned, the microphone. They love the microphone. And in John's video, he recorded it entirely on the onboard microphone. They say it's studio quality. Of course, studio, whose studio? My studio, your studio, Kanye's studio, Timbaland.
Yeah, they say that
Dre's studio.
You can record a podcast using these mics. Here.
This we could. What do we got? All this stuff.
I know. What is
big microphones? You know? And we must be idiots. Obviously, no. I mean, look here. I believe that they've improved what you would from what you would typically get on a laptop. I believe that. How do you replace true studio hardware? Things get a little squirrely. You start taking your liberties with the pro terminology, and then you throw the word studio in. Dre did it with the Beat Studio. Not too many studios. They were using the Beat Studios. It was a consumer headphone. It's the kind of thing where an individual feels more pro.
Yes.
And more studio. And those are great things. Everyone's what?
Yeah. Those specific keywords.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, you want, when it comes to audio, you want studio.
Yes.
When it comes to photography, you want pro. You see how this goes, Will?
Yes.
Very aware. Anyway, it's going to come in silver, space grade. Also gets an upgraded charger up to 96 watts. That's coming from 87 watts USB Type-C on a previous version. I will order it up. I will unbox it on Unbox Therapy. I'll check it out. I'll compare the keyboard to everything I've been using recently because I've been into laptops, as I've explained. It's the Razer. It's the ThinkPad stuff. I'm checking things out. Of course, the Microsoft stuff, which is thinner and more ultra-portable. This is a pro unit, so it'll actually compare. This model that you're speccing right now will compare kind of nicely to this ThinkPad. This is the X1 Extreme. It's not 16-inch. I believe it's 15.5. But, of course, I've talked a lot about it. You can go watch the video if you want. It'll be a nice little comparison. And most importantly, I'll be checking out if they really fix the keyboard thing and how I feel about the new keyboard construction, because I explained, I'm a keyboard guy. I'm into it. I gravitate towards the laptop when I want to tap the keys. Next up, we have this iPhone Slide Pro concept. A lot of people sent this to me, Will. A lot of people sent this on Twitter, the video of this.
Yes.
And some, I mean, I don't think anybody believed, I obviously didn't believe it was real. I think a lot of people wanted it to be real because it's cool.
Yes.
But it's far beyond the current technological capabilities to develop a product like this. For those of you that haven't seen this iPhone Slide Pro concept, it's a guy who apparently he makes these concept videos, and often there's a luxury car involved. He's done these keys in the past with touchscreens and stuff. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's CG, and essentially he kind of imagines futuristic devices. And in this case, he's imagined a futuristic iPhone, which is a slider, kind of like a T-Mobile Sidekick type of slider, except everything's a screen. You unveil a portion of screen plus cameras. It's very science fiction. And of course, there's no bezels anywhere. It's the screen to body ratio is 1,000%.
It folds out both ways, from the left or the right.
He's multitasking.
So, yeah.
I mean, this is better than some of the supposedly science fiction smartphones that pop up in Hollywood. Yes. They should just hire this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is giving me strong future vibes. And I'm big on the future vibes, as mm-hmm. you know, as I would be. Anyway, so he's multitasking, got Instagram open at the same time. He's browsing YouTube, watching videos. It's kind of a dream come true. Interestingly enough, no folding necessary in his iPhone Slide Pro concept because you're sliding instead. And it's all very exciting, opening apps and so forth. Let's read a little bit here. This is via researchsnipers.com. The new iPhone concept named iPhone Slide Pro is being rumored. Well, it's not. You can't call it a rumor. It shows off this dual screen concept. You can slide it to the left or the right, as Will mentioned. And it unveils a screen underneath it. So as opposed to sliding out to a keyboard, it slides out to a completely digital. Does that even make sense from a physical? Does that even work in your brain? If you slide it that way, that comes out. Okay. And if you slide it the other way, there's more space for some reason. I wonder why he did it like that. See how there's more space on the left slide than the right slide?
Mm-hmm. The right slide was for the camera functions.
Yeah, I think people would be really concerned if this product really actually existed, because that left slide leaves not a lot of overlap for the construction. So now you're wondering about durability. You're having Foldgate 2.0 over there.
Yes. Will,
or Slidegate.
Yes.
Anyway, it's just a concept. It's very cool to look at. I think you should check it out. Of course, I got a tweet from Ben Geskin, who's always, he's leaking stuff. And he said it's a concept, but that comes lower down in the caption. Instead, it says iPhone Slide Pro with 18K rose gold, followed by flame emoji, and then heart eye emoji. Double hearts in the eyes. Mm. These are two of Will's favorite emojis. And when they're combined, they create a... They create a dent in the universe, an entry point. What would you call it, Will? A rift? What's a rift?
Yeah, a rift.
They create a rift.
Yeah.
In the universe.
Yeah.
When you combine them, so try it out for yourself. Put the flame emoji in the hard eyes and see what happens. In the case of Ben Geskin, it gave him 5,723 likes on Twitter hearts. So. You try it out for yourself, see how it goes. But you might need the iPhone Slide Pro concept to go with it. It looks cool. It's not real. It's not happening anytime soon. We're going to see folding first. Obviously, we're seeing folding with the Moto product, Razer 2019. It's cool nonetheless. Minecraft Earth is live. So get ready to tap around. This Minecraft, obviously, it's a huge thing.
Yep.
People are building.
Adventures.
There's blocks involved. There's crafting.
Yes.
There's building.
Yes.
There's crafting. Oh, I love the soundtrack. I love the soundtrack. So relaxing. Have you ever heard the soundtrack, the Minecraft soundtrack? So, I mean, I'm into it for the soundtrack. Well, of course, Microsoft bought Minecraft back in the day, long time ago now. For a boatload of cash, as Willie Doo likes to say. And this is the next big development in Minecraft, an experiment in real world augmented reality gaming. Minecraft in the real world, you take your constructions, your creations, and you see what they look like, Will, in the real world. It's very exciting for a Minecraft player. And it adds a new dimension. It's high tech. You're interacting with... It's augmented reality.
It's AR, yes.
You're a big AR guy.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan.
What's the guy at the record label who... A&R. You're a big A&R guy and a big A&R guy.
Both, yes.
And a big A&R guy. What? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Some people don't like... I remember rappers, they would rap about their A&R guy.
Mm. But Shout out A&R.
No, they wouldn't shout him out. They talk.
Oh.
They talk about him. Talk bad things about him, Will. Because I don't swear on this show. It's a family show.
Yeah.
Talk bad things. Anyway, this is cool. I can't help but have a Pokemon Go feeling. Feeling very Pokemon looking at this.
Very lighthearted.
But also
casual.
Just go. You remember Pokemon thing? You're walking around the world. Niantic. Is that the name of the company? You're walking around. Everyone's looking for Pokemon. Now everybody out on the street is going to be just looking at their Minecraft creations.
Mm-hmm. Is that exciting to you?
I mean, I'm not going to. I can't be. Imagine if you saw me out there doing this.
The middle of the road?
Yeah, imagine you came in here one day and you just see me out there.
Oh.
I'm just on the grass over there. I'm just.
It's like you lost it, brother.
You'd be fairly concerned, I would assume.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the pocket-sized AR game lets you collect blocks and critters wherever you go. So collecting blocks and critters, that's very Pokemon Go. Mm-hmm. Undertake little adventures with friends and, of course, build sweet castles. I think it's a cool idea. It's hard, man, with this AR stuff. It's hard to figure out what the implementation or application is going to be that pushes it over the top that really convinces people it's the next thing. And so you, I mean, the more people that are taking a crack at it, the better, maybe. Mm-hmm. The more people that are cracking at it, the greater the likelihood the adoption takes place. People start to get used to the idea of it, and then we see some sort of an advance in the area. We talked about the new HoloLens on a previous episode, HoloLens 2. That's at the far end of the spectrum at $3,500. This, anyone can boot it up and try it out. It's not full-out AR, Will, because you're still looking at your phone. There's a limitation in immersiveness, but it gets you used to the idea of digital elements in the physical world.
Yeah, I can see this being really inspirational to maybe like future programmers. You know, dealing with like reality and then programming for it.
Will he do?
In a digital world.
Will he do? Well, or even one thing I will say I like about the Minecraft brand culture in general is it's a build culture, Will. You're making things, which is cool. It's not so many games share similar patterns. You go and do this, you shoot everyone, or you go and do that and you...
Yeah, this is more on like creation.
You race a car.
Yes.
Particularly on the phone. You race a car, you tap a thing.
Yeah.
Tower defense. I used to play tower defense games.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why.
Well, it helps with your resource management.
Yeah. I don't know.
I guess in real life it would apply.
I don't think that's true. I don't know. Maybe. So it's cool, the idea that it's creative. It's one of the few super hit games. Yes. I think Minecraft might be the biggest hit ever, maybe with the exception of Tetris. I can't remember. I looked this up recently. Minecraft is one of the biggest games of all time. And it's kind of cool that one of the biggest games of all time is a creative, an inherently creative game in which you are meant to manipulate the environment and generate your own creations. So it's coming out in a number of markets, by the way. Holy moly. There's another AR game coming out too, by the way, or maybe it's recently out. Harry Potter Wizards Unite. That one's a little lower down the list for me compared to the Minecraft thing. Yeah. But hey, man, Harry Potter's a big deal. Mm-hmm. The house that you're in, I listen to entire podcasts. People go to conventions.
Yeah.
And I'm in the
Slytherin.
I'm a Slytherin house.
Yeah.
Or
Hufflepuff.
Yeah. No. What's the Gryffindor, baby?
Yeah.
And then people get super psychological about it. Mm-hmm. In fact, in this podcast, I don't know if it was Radiolab or Planet Money or I don't remember which podcast it was, but they're interviewing these people and it's a psych evaluation. It's they can basically determine.
Yes. With a talking hat.
What?
That you put it on and then it tells you.
Oh, okay.
The hat talks and tells you which house.
But they're using the character format of Harry Potter to figure out how you approach things in real life.
Yes.
Like, what are those tests called? You did one the other day. What's it called? A personality test.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like some sort of personality test that applies to real life, but through the lens of Harry Potter characters to make it, I guess, a little more comfortable. And if people go to these conventions, they get around people that are a similar personality in the same house, slithering around. I did that on purpose. Stop it. I did that on purpose.
Sure about that?
All right. The following countries are going to have access to the new Minecraft. We're looking at US, UK, Canada, South Korea, Philippines, Sweden, Mexico, Australia, New Zealand, Iceland. If you are a Minecraft fan, you probably already know about this. If you haven't heard about it, you can give it a shot. Play Minecraft in the real world. It's Minecraft Earth. It's available on iOS and Android. This one is interesting to me, Will. Mm. And maybe it's interesting to you as well. Nike, very big brand, very big company. Sell shoes.
You don't say.
They got athletes, endorsements. They got red boxes, all kinds of boxes. I actually don't wear that many Nikes.
Not anymore, no.
Did you ever call it Nike?
Why? No.
Some
never people, occurred to me.
Some people call it Nike.
Who?
Yeah, in the UK, I think they call
it
Nike.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. Pair of Nikes. You can see why it's Nike.
Sure.
It's like the Porsche thing. Well, You want to call it Nike? Call it Nike. I don't get offended. Whatever. Right. I call it Nike. They're Nike's going to pull his products from Amazon. And this is interesting to me because obviously Amazon, enormous, big player, huge. We talk about them all the time. Changing a game. Game done, changed. Mm-hmm. Game will never be the same.
It's a done deal.
Yeah, they met, my God, the dominance, bananas. You think about all the things you buy on Amazon. For me, it's a problem. I'm just clicking around. Mm. I'm clicking, and then things show up at my house.
Yes.
See, the problem with that, though, probably from Nike's perspective, pulling all their products from there, is that they don't own very much of the experience, the customer experience. The customer could just as easily flip to some other brand because it's super convenient. They're already on Amazon.
Right.
They got the suggested products. Oh, you like this Nike sneaker? You might also like this Ultra Boost. Mm. See, Nike doesn't make Ultra Boost. Well, you should know.
Yes. Big fan.
You're wearing a pair right now, so you should know.
Yep.
The athletic brand will stop selling its sneakers and apparel directly on Amazon's website, ending a pilot program that began in 2017. They have been pivoting a lot recently, Nike, trying to become one with the times. The times are changing in almost every segment. It's not just tech. Everything's tech now. Mm-hmm. Even apparel, even sneakers. You know, Nike's website, it's all a lot of stuff. I did the custom Nikes at one time. That's another avenue they can go down. They can control a lot of the experience and own the relationship completely on their own e-commerce platform. Now, in 2017... they probably thought, hey, we should have some kind of Amazon footprint. But as you know, Amazon, they take a big chunk too, take a big piece of the margin, up to 30% in some cases. That's it's like almost a retail margin going on there. Nike doesn't have to give that up. They feel like their brand is big enough. They feel like their brand doesn't need it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't say this. They pulled it from Amazon. So obviously they believe that to be true. As part of Nike's focus on elevating consumer experiences through more direct personal relationships, we've made the decision to complete our current pilot with Amazon Retail. We will continue to invest in strong, distinctive partnerships for Nike with other retailers and platforms to seamlessly serve our consumer globally. You see that? Well, if you work for a big corporation, you start talking like that. You get a job at Nike, all of a sudden your words come out like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably didn't even write it. I just had to sign it, right? Other people wrote it.
Oh, they just gave you you the sheet.
Yeah, I approve.
The words come up in the boardroom.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is you get into the groove of seeing the statements and all of a sudden all your conversations start going. You're out for drinks with friends and that's...
Yeah, just super corporate.
That's
yeah.
What happens.
Yeah.
You say, I'm Willie Doo and I'm interested in elevating the experiences of this evening and therefore I'll order another beverage.
Everyone just walks away.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't work at the bar. But anyway, it works great for corporations. So it's been this constant kind of evaluation going on. It was always a pilot program, but that's pretty long for a pilot program. And the benefits of being on Amazon are obviously pretty well understood. It's this tremendous reach that's available to brands that are on Amazon. It's the comfort that an individual has of pulling the trigger on Amazon to order something with the Prime and the free shipping, and they've already got an account. I mean, everybody has an account on Amazon. So obviously you could potentially be introducing some friction for your brand. You remove it from the retailer. But a company the scale of Nike, they probably don't want to give too much power to the retailer. Because they don't have to, where some other brands might. And so we'll see how it works out for them. One thing I will say, their own online presence, if you head to their e-commerce platform, very slick, a very cool experience, man. You're definitely not on Amazon, tell you what. So if they get you over here, if they get a guy like Kirk on this website, he's leading with something. Exactly, because it's kind of a, man, it just feels like a slicker place to be. Mm-hmm. And I get it. Amazon has to be everything for everyone. So obviously it's a bit more noisy. But Nike is just a brand of a different scale, and they're making the bet that they don't need Amazon. Now, Important to note, all Nike products will not evaporate off Amazon. They just won't be there in an official way. There will always be the third-party sellers and things like this that will probably post stuff there, and there's nothing Nike can really do to stop that, or I don't believe they intend on stopping that. But as far as it being in a big way, getting their product out to the world, this is the way they want you to do it. So you go check out Nike for yourself, and you tell me down in the comments if this, if you feel like this is a good move or a bad move, and maybe for you as a customer, if you prefer the convenience of being able to get it off Amazon, or if you don't care creating an account on Nike.com. It's up to you. I noticed they got other brands at the top too. You have Jordan, you have Hurley, and you have Converse. So Nike, they got all kinds of things. Well, you don't even know what they got. Google plans to give slow websites a new badge of shame in Chrome. So I kind of like this. You know, sometimes, Will, you click on a website, it's like, pop, 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 pop. It's like, it's like, what's going on here? It's a nightmare experience, right? Obviously, Google, not a huge fan of experiences like that, which makes sense because ultimately they want to keep you on the web. If they keep you on the web, you have a higher likelihood of seeing their ads, of interacting with their products, having a good time. Mm-hmm. Kind of like watch time on YouTube here. Shout out to anyone watching right now. You're contributing in a big way. And we owe everything to you. Obviously, Google wants to keep you in a good mood as well. They just want to keep you moving around the web. And people that have poor experiences on websites, obviously, are going to want to get off the web. So they have developed a badge that's going to let you know pre-click, before you click on something or shortly after clicking on it, you're going to get a warning that you're on a slow site, a heavy website. And you're going to get to decide at that moment if you want to wait for it or you want to go have some other experience. Now, some websites, they get out of control, Will. They just get out of... What was the site you were on the other day? We just got blasted. Was it Daily...
Daily Mail?
Daily Mail. I'm still recovering. I'm recovering from that experience right now. Cool. It was pop, 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 pop. You were getting pelted. You see? It was violent. Mm-hmm. In fact, I felt bad for you. So this hopefully could save you from that. You'd say, you know, that news story is posted on 7 different sites. I'm going to back out and try another one where I got a different badge. That's the idea here. And then eventually what happens over time, Will, is you create a new culture in which web developers consider this. Big brands. Maybe I shouldn't say web developers. There's probably a lot of web developers that are sitting in a daily mail room saying, you can't slow down on it. You can't have all this. And then, but the boss at the top is.
It's like more. Did you dent your
table? Hey, man. The boss at the top, he's slamming the gavel. Is that the right term?
Yeah.
You know what that is?
Yeah.
The wooden hammer looking thing?
Yeah, if you're a judge.
Judge and jury. He might just be all about the bottom line. And then the developer's like, fine. I'm going to put that away. I'm going to put that to the side. Developers like, fine, I'll do it. Anyhow, this is good. I like this move. I think it shifts the culture. And then these websites start to realize the downside of having these heavyweight sites that load slowly. And of course, Will, I should mention, this is even more important in markets where the connection speed is slow. Imagine how slow it could be if you didn't even have a fat connection like you do. Then it's just you're having a nightmare experience. So now you reprogram the individuals putting the content out to go more lightweight, and it improves everybody's experience as you shift the culture. It's just an experiment right now, by the way, I should say. So we'll see if it rolls out in a bigger fashion in the long term. They've got this loading screen to warn Chrome users. Or it will show up as a loading progress bar. It'll be green if the site is fast and red if it's slow. They call it speed badging. You got to have full speed, Will. So I kind of like this. I think it's a good development. Shout out Google for improving that experience. You got to get Willie Doo off the heavyweight sites. It's ruining his day.
Please.
Tim Cook is going to host Donald Trump at the Texas Apple factory, the Mac Pro factory, in Austin, Texas. Now, I don't know if you know, Will. I don't know if you remember. But when the new Mac Pro was originally announced, they said, ah, see you later, Texas. They had made the trash can Mac Pro in Austin, Texas, or at least assembled it there, done a portion of the manufacturing there, based on certain incentives to do so from the U.S. government or presumably some agreements, handshakes, if you will. And in the midst of all this trade stuff going on, it was kind of odd to see that they would abandon that. You would have thought those incentives would remain to take that new Mac Pro and also do a portion of the assembly in Austin, Texas, in the same facility that they were doing with the previous version. But they said, nah, just do it in China. Well, that changed. And then they changed their tune and they changed their story. And they said, you know what?
They flipped it back.
Tim said, I had a meeting with Trump and we figured it out. And we're back in Austin now. So who knows? What is that conversation like? Just says, Tim, Austin, great barbecue down in Austin.
Yeah.
Tim's like, really? Haven't been yet.
Let's forget about all this incentive stuff and just have barbecue.
He's like, I haven't even been yet. I mean, we opened the facility. I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
Trump's like, great barbecue, Austin, love it. So then they set a date. They say, he says, I'll come down. They agree to a meeting. They go straight for the barbecue first. Have you been to Austin before?
No, I haven't.
It's a barbecue thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The people are lining up. If you go to South by Southwest, the people are lining up for barbecue. Yeah. So, and tacos. It's a taco thing, and it's a food truck thing. So, shout out Austin. But anyhow, they're going to go. So, they're going to go. They're going to have the barbecue. He's going to tour the facility. Even though this is not official yet. It's not an official line. Didn't come from the White House press or anything, but it's sort of speculative, I guess, to a certain degree. And he's going to take a look at how this Mac Pro comes together. And he's going to say, America, look at America. He's going to take the photo op. Look at America. We're making things in America. And Tim's gonna clap, and it's going to be wonderful. At least that's the way the report looks for the time being. President Donald Trump and Apple CEO Tim Cook are reportedly expected to tour the company's Texas-based manufacturing facilities together soon. It was reported originally by CNBC on Tuesday. It's not, like I said, it's not been officially confirmed by the White House or Apple. Who knows? They might want to keep it low key for whatever reason. But we have some funny dialogue here from Trump in his about his relationship with Tim Cook. Here's the quote. He's the one that calls me. That's why we have that's why he's a great executive, because he calls me and others don't. Others go out and hire very expensive consultants, and Tim Cook calls Donald Trump directly. That's Donald Trump calling himself Donald Trump, you see.
Yeah.
He's the one that calls me. That's why he's a great executive. He calls me. So you see how that works, Will? You want to be a great executive, you got to call Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And instantly you're a great executive.
Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't call him Tim Apple. That would have been...
You know what's funny is that he can say this positive stuff, but then he can also go on Twitter and say, hey, Tim, your new iPhone sucks.
Yeah.
Or whatever. He was upset about the home button going away. Yeah. And so he can do both at the same time. Anyhow, he's going to head down there. And it appears they have a decent relationship, at least because Cook has been on these various business advisory boards.
Yes.
He didn't leave. Elon left. Elon said, I can't do it anymore. This guy's nuts. He didn't say those words, obviously, but he said, I can't do it anymore. I can't be a part of it, even though he tried to stick it out. But Tim is still there. There is a line of communication, and Tim is still lobbying, presumably, to get a little breathing room on the tariffs, get a delay, any kind of positive development in that department, because obviously they are importing exporting from China tremendous amounts of electronics materials, and they could benefit greatly through having this relationship work out. So it's interesting. What are the consequences? I'd say the better their relationship, likely the lower the prices of your Apple products can remain in the short term, and also the higher the potential of Apple products having some degree of assembly in the United States.
Pride.
An American flag on the box, not an Apple logo. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe both. All right, last one for me. Have you heard of a company called Jetpack Aviation? Well, you have now. No. This is coming via TechCrunch. This company just raised $2 million to build the prototype of a flying motorcycle. Would you look at that? We got Kirk's attention. He turned his head sideways. He turned his head sideways when he saw that. They got, I mean, this is obviously a rendering. It's not real video. Well, some of it might be real video. The actual helicopter shot, probably real video. And then a dude is composited in on his motorcycle that's flying. That is downtown Los Angeles. And the man is basically riding a flying Sea-Doo to work.
This looks like a Avengers movie or something.
Yeah, no. No. They want to build that thing in real life. Yeah. The startup Jetpack Aviation is actually backed by Y Combinator as well. So they got some heavy hitters. I think some heavy hitters actually throwing some money at them. Their new flying motorcycle, which will be the world's first, is a personal aircraft they're calling the Speeder, probably inspired by Star Wars, obviously. And they actually think they're going to be able to build it. Now, there's been some development in what are called VTOL vehicles. And that's vertical takeoff landing. I should have asked you. I should have put you on the spot with that.
I was.
Were you going to go there?
Yeah, I felt like I knew.
You felt like you had that one. All right, I apologize. Yeah. I took away your moment. Yeah. So I apologize for that. Yeah. But VTOL devices or vehicles, designs, typically people have tried to apply it to flying car concepts. Because you have no runways in life. You got to be able to go straight up and straight down, like a drone sort of.
Especially in the city.
Especially any environment where where you have a congestion, where you have human beings living. Now, apparently, the thing holding back the other designs, the larger designs, the amount of power necessary to create these VTOL vehicles. And they think they can get around it with a VTOL motorcycle because it's going to be lighter weight and only have to carry one person straight up and down. They think it will legitimately be the first flying passenger vehicle like this. It can take off and land vertically and reach top speeds potentially over 400 miles an hour. No exposed rotors makes it a lot safer and easier to operate. Company also says it can be refueled in less than 5 minutes. It's all very exciting. I don't know that you're going to want to fly that thing at 400 miles an hour, Will. I don't even know you can breathe. But I don't even think you have to. In LA traffic, I think that's why they showed it off in LA as well. Dude's just floating over top the traffic in the video. Video's cool to see.
Yeah, very cool.
He's just floating over top the traffic, as you would in LA if you had this thing. Of course, my mind immediately envisions a future in which there's thousands of those. Yeah. Now I'm wondering how they all cooperate in the air. Mm-hmm. Where are they allowed to fly and not allowed to fly? But that's boring. Let's not get into that. Let's stay in science fiction.
Would you ride this?
It is right now?
Yeah.
I will have to ride it in an environment where I'm not competing with skyscrapers and things like this, like downtown LA. Where he is now, in the desert or wherever that is, I can see it.
Right.
I can see it. I mean, I want to ride it. Obviously, I want to ride it. But you know it's going to be a while. Granted, they don't think it's going to be a while. They actually want to build at least the prototype. Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned, the reason it's more viable in the near term is that it will rely on battery-based flight instead of turbine propulsion.
Oh.
And the current battery energy density is too low for most electrically powered VTOLs to be practical because, like I said, they're too heavy, too big, whatever. And this one, on the other hand, can get around that. Actually, Will, their first target is military. As you might imagine.
Sense. Yeah.
Imagine a military coming at you with that. Yeah. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! What you gonna do? You're gonna.
Oh, it's over for you.
You're gonna take a hike.
Yeah.
You're gonna take a hike, guy like you. Anyway, that's it for me. What a time. As I've said before, what a time. It's Willie Do. Willie Do's in the house.
Yeah.
Willie Do with the red light. Willie Do on the laptop.
Yeah.
Will he do in 2019? You're a cozy guy these days. Am I right?
For the most part, now, yeah. We're getting a lot of snow up here. It's nice to cozy, hunker down.
I know you told me before the episode you wanted a moment at the end of the show just to address the people. You had a real strong message today, so.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you have this moment right here. I'm going to carve out some time for you here.
So you can. I'm glad. Thank you.
So you can address the people and just get it off your chest, whatever it was you were discussing earlier.
I just want to give a shout out to the people working on the backgrounds here. One of them is Fotis, and the other is Harry Stranger. So shout out to them. If you have any artwork to submit, you can submit them at will@lulater.com. And I think the resolution's 12,800 by 3,200.
Willie Do, ladies and gentlemen, full business today, full LinkedIn today. It's unbelievable. What a time.
Yeah.
We're going to be back.